I invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to the first epistle of John, Pew Bible 1207, 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 3 this morning. Our series is called Essential Christianity, because 1 John is all about the essence of what it means to be a Christian, what is essential to be and to believe, to truly be a follower of Jesus Christ. Last week we learned that one way to get at the essence of Christianity is to say that God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. And if we're going to claim a relationship with the God who is light, then we have to walk in the light as He is in the light. We'll not do that perfectly because we are still sinners. We are simultaneously righteous and sinful. Simul justus et peccator, right? But we have been and continue to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He is our advocate who speaks in our defense because He is the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And that makes all the difference. At least it should. It does make all the difference if we are for real. But John has already pointed out that some people claim to belong to the Lord Jesus, but they really don't. Today's message is entitled, Talk and Walk. Talk and Walk. When I first started sending emails back and forth with Wally, who was our search committee chairman, for me to come, his emails would always come at the bottom, would say, Walking with Him, Wally. Walking with Him, Wally. Have you ever heard this proverbial sentence? You probably have. It's not good enough to just talk the talk. You've got to walk the walk. Have you heard that? I think the Apostle John would love that sentence. It's not good enough to just talk the talk. You've got to walk the walk. Now this morning we have a shortened sermon time. We're only going to read four verses. Chapters 2, verses 3 through 6. And if I could summarize those four verses with one sentence, it would be this. It's not good enough to just talk the talk. You've got to walk the walk. Listen to 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in Him. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Lord, for how Jesus walked. Thank you for His perfect life and His sacrificial death on our behalf, that He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. His blood is cleansing, and we are saved. We pray, Father, that You would help us to understand this relationship between talk and walk this morning better, and not just understand it up the top of our heads, but that deep down in our souls we would be changed. We would more and more know that we are the children of God, and more live like it. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's not good enough to just talk the talk. You've got to walk the walk. It's not good enough to just claim to be a Christian. You have to live like one. It's not good enough to just talk the talk. You've got to walk the walk. Now let's walk down through these four verses and see exactly how John says it. I've got four points of application this morning, one for each verse for us to think about. Here's the first one. You can know that you know the Lord. You can know that you know the Lord. Verse 3. We know that we've come to know Him if we obey His commands. Now the Him goes back to verses 1 and 2, and it refers to Jesus. John calls Him Jesus Christ, the righteous one. We know that we've come to know Him, Jesus, if we obey His commands. And the first thing I want us to see here is that there's something here to be known. One of the purposes of 1 John is to assure Christ followers that they truly are Christ followers. The true believers are assured that they are saved, that they're for real. Remember a few years ago we had the Real Christian sermon series? Believe it or not, that was 2007. 1 John is like the book of real Christians. How to know you are for real. Because you might be worried. You might not know. There are many who are not sure. They do not know. And John comes to our rescue. He says, you can know that you know our Lord. We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. Now we see here that we know that we've come to know if we obey Jesus' commands. We're going to hear John say that and things like that again and again through this short book. He's going to say this again. He's also going to say other things, other ways of knowing that we know the Lord. There are three areas that John will circle back on again and again in this book. Here they are: the moral, the social, and the doctrinal. Okay, we're going to see this again and again. The moral is the one we're looking at here. Obedience. Acting Christ-like. You know that you know the Lord if you obey. The next will be the social, which is love. Especially love for other Christians. We're going to see that not next week because Alex is preaching next week, but the next Sunday. Love. And then the last is the doctrinal. Believing that Jesus is God in the flesh. Okay? John is going to circle back around these three areas again and again to bring assurance to Christians. So if we obey Jesus, if we love Jesus' people, if we believe the truth about Jesus, then we can know that we know Jesus. Today we're focusing on the first of those, the moral. But right this second, I just want you to catch just this. You can know that you know the Lord. You don't have to worry or wonder or wish. You can know that you know the Lord. It can be a certainty in your life, something you can count on. I think that's what we heard this morning from Wally's testimony. It's something he knows. He knows that he knows the Lord. I remember when that hit home for me the first time. It was when I memorized 1 John 5:13. It'll be a while until we get there, so I'll just jump there right now. 1 John 5:13 says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. That's the doctrinal area. So that you may know that you have eternal life. I was a student at Moody Bible Institute. And you memorize by just repeating it over and over again in your mind. And I was kind of jumping from my bed to my chair to my dresser. I'm in constant motion, saying it out loud, just memorizing it, going, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So that you may know that you have eternal life. I'm memorizing it for a test. Okay, and all of a sudden, so that you may know that you have eternal life. All of a sudden, I realized that it meant that I could know that I have eternal life. Not just wonder or wish or worry. Do you know that you have eternal life? Do you know that you know the Lord? I want you to know this like you know your own name. Now, some people read verse 3 and they get nervous. But it's not supposed to make you nervous. It's supposed to give you assurance. We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. If you do the things the Lord Jesus says to do, then you can have assurance that you know Jesus as your own Lord and Savior. You can know that you know the Lord if you walk the walk. Number two, it's lying to talk the talk without walking the walk. It's lying to talk the talk without walking the walk. Look at verse 4. The man who says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now here's somebody who talks the talk. Oh yeah, I know Him, but he doesn't walk the walk. And John has a simple name for guys like that. Liar. It's not enough to just say, I know Jesus, I'm a Christian. Your life has to back that up. Here's another way of saying it. If you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be any evidence to convict you? Now, of course, if you're on trial for being a Christian, you would say, yes, Your Honor, I'm a Christian. But words are tested by works. Is your money where your mouth is? Do your actions back up your claims? Verse 4, the man who says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, I'm sure that we can all think of the name of at least one of these liars. Somebody we know who says they are a Christ follower, but their life does not match up with that claim. But before we point fingers, we should examine ourselves. Are we liars? Am I a liar? Do I claim to know Christ but don't do what He commands? Now, I've been a pastor for 15 years. My guess is that the people who should be worried right now aren't worried enough. And the people who shouldn't be worried are biting their nails right now. I was once told that my job as a pastor is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. I think that's what John is trying to do here. John does not mean that all Christ followers follow Jesus perfectly. He doesn't mean that. We know he doesn't because of what we saw last week. He expects us to sin sometimes. Chapter 1, verse 8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. John just said that. And now he says this. He's not saying that if you've sinned, then you're a liar. If you've sinned, and who hasn't, then we obey Jesus' command and confess it. And He who is faithful and just will forgive it and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But he is saying, if you say you're a Christian, but your regular lifestyle, the way you walk, says something different, then you're lying to yourself and to others. There's no truth in you. It's lying to talk the talk without walking the walk. We call that hypocrisy. And if that's you, then there is no assurance for you that you truly are a Christian. I know people who think they can just ignore Jesus' commands and still be considered Christ followers. Forgive your enemy? I don't like that one. Not going to do it. And I want to ask, what part of follower don't you understand? Well, I prayed a prayer to ask Jesus into my heart when I was 4. Well, that's great. But the man who says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Let me give you another $5 word for your vocabulary lesson this week. Ready? Gnosticism. Gnosticism. You don't say the G. It's not gnosticism. Gary Gnu. This is Gnosticism. Now, some of you may know that word, but many don't. Gnosticism was a false teaching that infiltrated the church, especially in the 2nd and 3rd centuries. A full-blown Gnosticism didn't come along until later. But John was probably dealing with, we call it proto-Gnosticism, with the roots of what started even in the 1st century when the church was just getting off the ground. This was the enemy. Gnosis is the Greek word that means knowledge. So these are the knowledgers. The Gnostics were people who claimed a secret spiritual knowledge and that this knowledge was everything. If you have the secret spiritual knowledge, then you didn't need anything else, including a God who came in the flesh, because flesh was bad, spirit and knowledge is good, and you didn't need obedience in your own flesh, in your body. What did that matter? You had this knowledge. I think that's part of what was going on in verse 4. Some of these guys, these proto-Gnostics, were claiming knowledge of the Lord, but living like the devil. And John says, no way. That's not how it works. You don't say you belong to Jesus and live like the devil. It's lying to talk the talk without walking the walk. The two go together, and here's why. Number three, walking the walk shows that God's love is changing you. Walking the walk shows that God's love is changing you. Look at verse 5. But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we're in Him. See, it's the opposite of lying. Obedience is demonstrating to the world that God's love is made complete in Him. Now, what does that phrase mean? Made complete in Him. Well, it could mean that love for God is made complete in the obedient Christian. That's one way of taking the Greek here. And it would be true. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what I command. So we can infer that if you do what Jesus commanded, then you love Him. But I think the 1984 NIV has it right. God's love is truly made complete in Him. God's love, demonstrated in the cross, is having its full effect on the believer. How do we know? The believer obeys Jesus. Now that's very important. Because we can make the mistake in verse 3 of falling into the trap of the Pharisees. I want to know that I know the Lord, so I get busy obeying commands. Obey, 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 obey. Work, 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 work. How many commands until I know that I'm saved? Obey, 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 obey. Work, 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 work. Give me a number. How am I doing? That's not what we're talking about here. This isn't Phariseeism. This isn't earning your salvation. It's not about working your way through obedience, to work your way to God. This is about assurance that comes through fruit. This obedience that he's talking about is blood bought. This obedience is built on the blood of Jesus. Everything we've sung about this morning, this is what it's built on. This is talking about a believer who has come to trust in the cross of Christ. He has come to know that he or she is loved with an indescribable, incredible love. And that love has an effect on you. You want to obey. You want to please Jesus. You want your life to count for His glory. God loves me. That's got to change you. Walking the walk is not an exercise in Phariseeism. Walking the walk shows that God's love is in you. It's changing you. Have you made changes in your life because God loves you? Are you making changes in your life, little course corrections, because you know God loves you? That's settled at the cross. That's how you know that you know Him. A changed life. Not a perfect life, but a changed one. A life that's now aimed in a Godward direction. Walking the walk shows that God's love is changing you. If it isn't, then you aren't. Because, number four, if you talk the talk, you've got to walk the walk. If you talk the talk, you've got to walk the walk. That's how it works. Verse 6. This is how we know we're in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him, talk, must walk as Jesus did. You see that must? Gotta. The two go together. If you claim to live in Him but walk your life in an opposite manner, then you aren't real. And I, for one, can give you no assurance that you'll spend eternity with the Lord, no matter what religious experiences you have had. If you talk the talk, you've got to walk the walk. Because that's how it works. So do it. Walk the walk. Walk, it says here, as Jesus did. Remember those bracelets they had, those letters on them? They were all the rage about a decade ago. You know what I'm going to say, right? What are the initials? WWJD. What would Jesus do? Now, you can do that all wrong, right? For one, did He wear a bracelet? Not as far as we know. Okay. Well, Jesus walked on water. Should I do that? Jesus turned over tables in the temple. Should I do that? Jesus wasn't married, so should I stay single all of my life? That's a bad way of doing WWJD. We could do it poorly. But I think we know enough about the Lord Jesus to see what things we can and should follow and try by faith to live our lives walking as Jesus did. Right? What would Jesus do? And what would Jesus have me do? That's walking as Jesus did. What situations are you facing right now? Or you need to ask yourself that question. What would Jesus do in this situation? Or what would Jesus have me do in this situation? And once you know that, take that step. Go in that direction. No matter how scary it is or what might be coming at you, walk as Jesus did. Take that step. Obey. We know that we've come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys His Word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. That's the application this morning. It's very simple, not always easy, very simple. If you talk the talk, you've got to walk the walk like Jesus. Do it. Not perfectly, not without messing up, not without a struggle. All that's going to be there. But truly, growingly, because God's love is changing you, walk the walk. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray for anyone who has a sensitive conscience and these verses worry them. I've sinned. I don't walk like Jesus. I don't do what He commands. I've messed up so many times, even this morning before church. I pray that for that person, Lord, You assure them that there is changes that You have wrought in their life. They're different than they used to be. That they are walking the walk. That they do obey. That they want to please Jesus. That Your love is changing them. I pray that right now they would confess their sins to You. And know that You are faithful and just and will forgive them their sins and purify them from all unrighteousness because of the blood of Jesus. But Lord, I also pray for those who might be saying, oh, sure, I'm a Christian, but I'm going to do things my way. It's a free country. I think that some of that stuff Jesus said is outmoded. It's not for today. It wouldn't work for me. He doesn't know what I'm facing. I'm going to go and do things this way. Lord, I pray for those folks, precious folks. I pray, Father, that they would see that that's lying and the truth is not in that, and that Your way is the only way. And that they would repent, they would turn from talking the talk without walking the walk and turn towards You and doing things Your way. That might mean some radical changes in some lives. That might mean small little course corrections that change everything for others. Your love is so good. It changes us. If we talk the talk, we've got to walk the walk. Help us, Lord, by faith to not get caught up in a Gnostic heresy that thinks that just kind of saying something or knowing some secret makes it true. Help us, Lord, to put feet on it. To walk it out like Jesus did. Lord, for some people, that's going to mean some hard steps to take. It's going to mean a 180. It's going to mean walking into a storm. And I pray, Father, You give them grace. Not just to talk the talk, but to walk the walk. Would You do that, Lord? Would You do it in me? Lord, I pray for somebody for whom this is all just plain old new. I didn't know any of this. I knew there was something about Jesus out there, but this is new. I pray, Father, for that person that they would put themselves in your hands, that they would trust in Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and they would begin to follow Him by faith. Would you do that, Lord, in somebody's heart even right now? Maybe a young person's life, so that 60-some years from now, they might be able to stand up and give a testimony like Wally did today of what you did in their life on November 11th, 2012. Would you work, Lord, in us and make us pleasing in your sight? We pray it in the name of Jesus, who talked perfectly, walked perfectly, and gave himself for us. Amen.